Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. How's
well,
it going?
Hello, hello, Cayman.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm chilling, dude. I woke up and I just had told you, but I'll tell the viewers in case I sound a little weird. My allergies are kicking me in the rump right now. So I don't know if I'll have to blow my nose again, but if I do, please excuse that. Yeah, man. How have you been?
Pretty good. Just kind of doing my thing. Working.
Love that. Yeah. I still don't have work. That's the update for all of us. I went through two interviews with a firm that I want to work for, but I haven't heard back on the second one yet. We'll see. But I already have, if that doesn't pull through, I have another opportunity that was presented to me through an old coworker on LinkedIn. So we'll see. Hopefully this one works, but if not, no worries.
Do you have any Thanksgiving plans?
I do, yeah. I'm going to KK's parents or like KK's family's Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Cool.
What about you?
I know on Monday, Elena and some of her friends are doing like a girls' night Thanksgiving thing. And then one of her friends' boyfriends is coming to hang out with me. So we'll just chill.
I was about to ask, like, what are you going to do? Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And then on actual Thanksgiving, I don't really know what we're doing, but.
Is this the first time that you'll be away from your family in like the last like 4 years?
Thanksgiving? Yeah, I think so. Just because normally, like, when we were both in school, it was easier to like make travel plans to go and visit family, and then obviously when we lived right next to them, even though I was working, it was like we just go over there for dinner and have Thanksgiving. But now it's like Elena has off Wednesday through Friday, I only have off Thursday and Friday, and so
I have off the whole week, bro.
You have off multiple weeks.
I know.
But
wait, when was the Thanksgiving when you guys were here? Was that 2 years ago or 1 year ago?
That was... No, I think that was last year.
Was that last year?
Pretty sure that was last year.
Aww.
And we made our...
Yeah,
whatchamacallit?
I don't know what you call it, but it was so fucking good.
Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little harder to make travel plans, and obviously... Like only having the 2 days plus the week after Thanksgiving, Elena has another test. So she's probably a lot of her Thanksgiving break is still just going to be studying.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, if the job pulls through and I know I'll start working like beginning of December 4th or something like that, I'm going to see if I can like do some travel plans to see somebody's, like maybe see you guys or
that'd be fun.
Maybe see Cameron or something like that. Yeah, I need to see. But I got to get the job first, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Time's running out. 2 weeks tomorrow. So
money's running out.
Yeah, that too, bro. It's no joke out here. Rent is expensive, as is food.
Yeah.
Kind of lame, but, you know, it is what it is.
You survive off
the punches.
Toast.
Toast, dude, I'm surviving ramen. Dude, I'm surviving off my friends, honestly. Honestly, it's so nice. Like, granted, I do pay quite a bit if I go out with like Kaylin or something like that.
Yeah.
But she also does the same for me. So I was just thinking this morning, I was like, damn, dude, I think in like the last 3 days, every time I've gone out with people, like either they've paid for me or I've just. Actually, no, that's it. They've paid for me, period.
Yeah. You like do one like of those things night. Where you like you go out with people and you just don't eat anything and then you're just awkwardly sitting at the table.
No, I don't do that. I'll pay for food at that point. But like And I don't ask either. I'm just like in line. And then my buddy was like, yo, I'll pay for your food, man, because you don't have a job. And I'm like, you sure, bro? Like, that's nice of you. Thanks, man. And the last night we went to the Alamo, the theater, and we watched Priscilla.
Yeah.
The wife of Elvis. If you guys haven't seen that, definitely go see it. That's my rec, by the way.
giving it so away I'll early.
I'll do it early. Yeah. Sorry, guys. But definitely go see that movie. It puts Elvis in such a different light that's negative. And apparently Priscilla. Yeah. She says that is like the most true like representation of what her relationship with him was like that has been portrayed up till now.
What like made you want to go see that?
It was Caitlin. She really wanted to go see it. We actually wanted to go see what is that movie called? Dude, you have to see this next one that's coming out on the 20th. It's so good. It's a UK movie. Saltburn. That's what it's called. Dude, it is phenomenal. Saltburn. I've watched the trailers and
psychological
I can't wait.
Black comedy thriller.
Yeah. It's gonna be great. That's coming out on the 22nd, so like also another rec. Go watch that.
Like a murder thing?
Feels no, like a not even. Thing. Is it a murder thing? Maybe. I don't know. The trailers don't have anything about murder, but, you know, trailers don't reveal everything.
That's true.
But, yeah, definitely watch the trailer on that one. I think it's going to be a great movie. It was already released in the UK on the 17th, but here on the 22nd, and it looks super good. And the lighting of the movie... Also, speaking of Priscilla, dude, the lighting of that movie, Caitlin knows exactly like the numbers that they were using, but dude, it was very good.
All right.
Very good. Yeah, kind of like dark in a way, but it's the reality of the situation. So.
All right. Well, instead of talking about that movie, today we're actually going to be talking about a different movie. Which is The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which came out August 11th. Yeah. Was directed by Andre Ovredal. I have no idea how to pronounce his last name. It's like Icelandic or something.
Icelandic?
It's like the first letter is like the O with a little line through it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, honestly, I was thinking, like, during and after the movie, Demeter is such a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, kind of badass, but also, like,
well, it's like,
I don't know, a little spooky.
I can't remember if it's Greek or Roman because I keep getting them mixed up, but it's a goddess.
Oh, is it really?
Greek.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the Greek goddess of the harvest. So she's the goddess of agriculture and crops and all that stuff.
Sick. Yeah, well, it's a really cool name. I was like, damn, I wonder how they figured that out. Well, now we know.
Yep. So what did you think about The Last Voyage of the Demeter?
I thought the movie was great. I think the filming was really cool. I love that it took place on like an old ship. The CGI was also really good, in my opinion.
What do you think about the scariness of it? Because I know you're not really a fan of horror movies, but...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of horror movies, but this wasn't, like, one of those horror movies that I couldn't get along with. Like, this one was totally fine. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't, like, super psychological at all. Here and there was, like, some gore and stuff. I have no issue with gore, but gotcha. No, this movie wasn't anything crazy to me.
Okay.
I enjoyed watching it. It was really cool and kind of suspenseful at times. And
yeah,
sometimes it did things that you didn't expect it to do. And it was really nice. What did you think about the movie?
I hadn't seen, and this isn't a spoiler because there's like a little blurb of text in the very beginning of the movie, but this movie is based off of a portion of the Dracula novel. I think it's like 5 pages in the book, like it's a really short section, but I haven't read Dracula, and so I didn't recognize the Demeter as being the ship from the novel, And I had heard about this movie on another podcast before I saw the trailer. And on the podcast where they had mentioned it, they like have a, like a bit that they do where they just call all, they call all vampires Draculas. And so they'll be like, oh yeah, that guy got bitten by a Dracula and then he turned into a Dracula. And like anytime they just don't say the word vampire. They just call them Draculas instead. And then when they were talking about this movie, they called it, oh, it's Dracula on a boat. And so I didn't think about it. I was just like, oh, it's a vampire boat movie. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, yeah, vampire boat movie. And then when I watched the movie and it said it's from the novel Dracula, I was like, oh, it's actually Dracula on a boat.
It's actually the Dracula. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's good. Yeah. So what's the difference? Who is Dracula for those that may not be aware?
I mean, I don't know who's not aware of who Dracula is, but
I mean,
it's a very old mythological figure from Transylvania based on Vlad the Impaler. There's like tons of lore about him. I know earlier this year, Elena and I did an episode on Renfield, which is another movie that has Dracula in it. I honestly, if you don't know who Dracula is, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I don't know. I don't know how to help you. Awesome. Okay. Well,
but it's I think
and Dracula and crew.
Yeah, I thought it was. I also really liked it. I think, strangely enough, I think my least favorite parts of the movie were the parts with Dracula in it. I think all of the stuff with the other characters was way more interesting.
Okay, I can kind of see that. Yeah.
I feel like we can get into this more when we start our spoiler review, but I think it maybe like wasn't as subtle as I wanted it to be. But it was still a really good movie.
I mean, it was a little bit subtle, kind of.
Kind of. But it could have been more.
That's fair. That's fair. A little bit more spooky. You wanted more spookiness.
I wanted more spookiness.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that we have the same opinion about the movie. That's a good start.
So I guess then let's step into the boxing ring.
And I am first this time.
Perfect. Let's hear what you got.
Alrighty. Let me change my name on here. There we go. I think the voyage goes to England. Yes, I think so. Alrighty. A ship leaving a location going to England with a crew has on board personal crates that leave the crew and its ship in mighty danger. That's what I'm going to leave it at.
Mighty danger.
Mighty danger.
Okay. I'm bad at these. Say,
it's okay though.
The crew of the Demeter is hauling mysterious cargo to London, but strange things start happening aboard, and the danger lurks around every corner.
All right. That was good. You added a lot more words in there that were keywords. All right, let's hear the real deal.
It says, the crew of the merchant ship Demeter attempts to survive the ocean voyage from Carpathia to London as they are stalked each night by a merciless presence on board the ship.
All right. You get it. You said London. You said Demeter.
I did say both of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know the hell remembered Carpathia. I don't even think they said that in the movie.
I was trying to figure out like where they were. I was like, from a spot to damn, Carpathia.
All right. Well,
no clue where that is even.
Pretty simple. I thought about mentioning the novel, but it doesn't mention that here. So I'm glad that I left that part out.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about mentioning the like those villagers that came through and like left the boxes or the crates for them. But I mean, again, I guess they were just that small part of a plot line. It didn't really matter.
Oh, also, I forgot to mention earlier, but this movie had a estimated budget of $45 million.
Oh, wow.
So pretty cheap. And unfortunately, it only made about a little under $22 million. Was not a huge success at the box office.
No way. What? Dang, that's surprising. I think it looks like such a interesting movie.
I think there was just so many other bigger movies coming out at the time. Like, what did I say? This was beginning of August, and there was, I mean, I don't remember exactly what came out during that
time. Barbie and Oppenheimer?
Was that?
No.
Hold on.
What's that?
Barbie came out July 21st.
Oh, so no.
Well, but it still would have, that's only... both of them came out July 21st. So if it came out August 11th, that's like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks difference. So they still would have been pretty fresh. So maybe that probably had quite a bit to do with it.
Yeah, because everyone was that's the only thing people were talking about.
Yeah, for like a month
at that point. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's unfortunate.
That makes sense.
So what happens exactly when a movie like loses that much dough?
I mean, you just...
But that can't be good.
You just lose money.
Damn, that sucks, dude. It's such a gamble.
Well, also, sorry, this is off track, but a little bit of side news here is David Zaslav, who runs Warner Brothers, recently came up in the news again for canceling the... I believe it was called Coyote versus Acme or something like that. But it's the Coyote and Roadrunner from Looney Tunes. They had a movie that was going to come out with him, and it had John Cena in it, and it was like this whole big deal. And very similar to the canceled Batwoman movie, from what it looks like is that the movie was like 90% done, maybe a little over 90% done, and then they just decided to stop making it.
That's wild.
Because apparently, so as we've talked about with budgets before, usually there's like the budget for the movie, and then they usually also have to spend quite a bit on marketing as well. And for some reason, David Zaslav seems to think that I don't know how he makes these decisions on what movies are going to get released and which ones aren't, but like same thing happened with Batwoman, where like they made the movie and then by not releasing it they are like able to get like a tax write-off for it, and so they save like $30-40 million for not having to pay for marketing, and then they also get like $30 million in tax credit for making a movie and not releasing it.
But how do you get tax credits for that? That makes no sense to me.
It's a Hollywood thing. I don't know, but they're like they're still losing money when you do that. You're just losing less money. But I feel like that only makes sense if you truly believe that the movie isn't gonna be a complete waste of time. But like after it was announced that it was canceled, a lot of the people that had worked on the movie started like releasing behind the scenes stuff, and they're like, hey, since you're not gonna be able to see this movie that I spent months working on, here's like a couple things that I can share with you at least.
And that's cool.
And it like it all looks really fun, and there's like news from people who, because the movie was so done that they had already done a few screenings. And from those test audiences, like most of them were giving the film like scores in the 90s. Like everyone loved this film. And then they still decided, they're like, nah, we're just not going to release it.
I mean, they can release it at a later time though, right?
I mean,
like, it's basically a movie in their pocket.
I don't know. I don't know how all that works, but everyone's very upset with him right now.
Damn, that sucks. Yeah, I wonder how that works, because he got tax credit, so they gave him money, but then
release it at one point. It's idiotic in the long term, because like no one no one wants to spend that much time on something and then not be able to show it to people. And so I feel like it's creating an atmosphere where like filmmakers and like other industry artists just aren't going to want to work with Warner Brothers anymore. Because if you like, if you sign on to a movie and you're like, well, there's a chance that we might work on this for half a year and then, or multiple years, and then it just nothing happens with it after that. Like, why would you want to go through that?
That's true. Yeah. It creates like that toxic environment.
And so I think it's a resentment. I think it's a bad move, and among many other bad moves, because David Zaslav is also the one responsible for changing HBO to just be called Max, which was one of the most idiotic business decisions ever. Because HBO was not only a well-known but a well-respected brand. Like, I feel like for a long time, like if someone said, oh, there's a new HBO show coming out, people were like, oh, it's probably gonna be real good. But now they're like, for some reason, decided to just get rid of that name. And I don't know, it boggles my mind how someone could come to a decision like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost as bad of a move as Twitter to X. It's like the same kind of thing. Because everyone knew HBO.
Yeah.
Name wise, even. But Max, it's like meh.
Ridiculous. Meh. Facts. But anyway, that was I got sidetracked there.
A little rant. A little side rant. Alrighty, well.
Right, so let's take a break and then we will come back for our spoiler review.
Hello.
All right then.
And we're back.
I actually have some other completely unrelated news that I was reminded back. Of. I mean, we're back, but we'll just share.
We are
this.
Back.
So I know on our last episode we talked about the actor strike being over, but at the time of recording, we didn't have any details as to what the actual deal was that they made. Those details have since come out, and they got a lot of what they were asking for, but there are some pretty key things that a lot of people are worried about. One of them being that they... So, like we have talked about before, part of the problem was studios wanting to use AI to replicate or replace actors, especially background actors, and like having a thing where they'd be like, oh, well, we're just going to hire someone. They'll come in for one day, scan them, and then we can just use them for the rest of the movie and not have to pay them, that kind of a thing.
Right.
In their new deal, it is stipulated that any use of AI, like the actor has to give consent for them to do that, which is helpful, but there is no protection against using that as a, which I don't know how law exactly works with having to give consent, because it feels like, I don't know. Basically, the worry is that studios will just use that as another like requirement for employment and be like, if you want us to hire you for this movie, you have to give consent for us to do AI. Otherwise, we'll just find someone else.
Yeah, that sucks. That really does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how law works either, but I'm sure in there somewhere that they have to be like, why don't, even if they scan them, right? And then they use, sorry, excuse me. That person in like the AI format, why they should have just had like a stipulation there of like, hey, like, because we're using you as an AI, we're still going to pay you for the time that the AI is in the movie, like at half
value.
Well,
they have a thing sort of like that, where like actors have to be paid for the time that their digital version is being used, if it, like, there's a whole thing where they are picky about, like, defining features. Like, if someone is like, oh, well, we didn't hire, I don't know, Jason Bateman. I don't know why that's the first celebrity name that came to my head, but like, we didn't hire him, but we created a digital version that looks pretty much just like him. And there's a thing in their deal which is like, no, if it's obvious from looking at the AI version who it's supposed to be, then you still need consent from that person.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I don't know. It's a whole messy thing, and I mean, we'll see what happens. Obviously, I think their contracts are 3 years. So in 2026, they'll renegotiate everything, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how well this plays out. I mean, at least they signed it, though. They got things that they wanted. Of course, it's not going to be perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, especially with like new technologies coming out, I'm sure there's going to be something newer than AI at one point.
It's
no clue what that would be.
Because it's already started to, there's a basketball movie, or I think it's basketball. I don't know. It's some weird like Disney Channel kind of a movie that's on Disney Plus right now. And I've seen so many people making fun of it, but there's a scene where they're watching a game and they show a shot of all of the people sitting in the bleachers and like cheering for them because they just made a score or something. And there's like six people in the bleachers that are very obviously fake people. And they look,
oh gosh,
they look so stupid. Like, I don't know. I'm going to have to send you a screenshot of it later because it's honestly ridiculous.
Oh boy. Well, yeah, that's tough. I don't know.
But yeah. Things are going kind of crazy in Hollywood right now.
I mean, aren't they always going crazy in Hollywood, I feel like?
True.
Hollywood's always low-key a mess, but it is what it is.
But anyway, let's get back to our movie.
Yeah. Back to the current movie, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Because this is a newer movie, we have to have the spoiler section revealed, so...
Everyone, this is the spoiler section. If you don't want the movie spoiled, don't listen or watch.
All right, that's it. Now they know that we're about to spoil this whole movie, so be aware, hit pause, or just keep listening if you don't really care.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved, like, I'm always a big scenery person. I guess I'll start there. Dude, at the I don't know what they call it exactly, like the shipyard, maybe? The dock?
The port?
The port? Yes, the port. Dude, I love when it looks like the actual time period. I just like when you see a big, vast, setting versus like a kind of a tight shot. I like the wide shots where like you can kind of get the feel, kind of immerse yourself in like what's going on, and like the way they're roping up the boxes to go into the ships and the way they're picking the crew. I think that's so cool because, I mean, I personally don't know enough about how that all worked back in the day, like what, 100, 200 years ago?
Yeah, I was like mid to late 1800s, I want to say. Was it early 1800s? Yeah. I don't know. No, it's somewhere
even,
there.
Even earlier. Yeah, like 1700s, 1600s. The ships have always been around.
I mean, yeah. But just like...
Yeah. And I think, so this movie...
Dracula takes place in the late 1800s.
I was going to say late 1800s because I think that's when steamers were coming around. And they said that...
Yeah,
like,
they talked about like transitioning into steel ships and the person was like, there's no joy in metal ships and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
No character. Right. But yeah, I loved the beginning of the movie. I thought it was super cool. I immediately got into it just because of that section. Because I don't watch a lot of like movies like around that time era or about shipping, like ships, sailing. It was really cool. I think the props were great. The actors were also great. You could tell that they were definitely doing their part.
The other, yeah, it was dope. I guess if I had to pick like a standout role, I don't remember his name, but the person who plays Wojciech, who I believe is the first mate. He played Polka Dot Man in the most recent Suicide Squad movie, but I can't remember his name, and I'm too lazy to look it up. But I think he especially did a great job in all of the
Wojciech. Yeah, David Dash Malishin.
Malishin. Wow.
DASTMALCHIAN. Dast Malchian.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah, well, that guy.
But yeah, he did great. He was David Dast Malchian did an amazing job.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was definitely more of like the emotional spectrum of the movie. And then honestly, I think Clemens, which was played by Corey Hawkins, I think he also did a pretty good job.
I think everyone did a good, even like the like side characters that we didn't really get a whole lot of time with, like all of the scenes where they're down in the like the dining room all talking to each other.
Yeah.
I love those scenes.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
I also really liked the score for this movie, which was composed by Bear McCreary. I think does a lot of good work. I was introduced to his work. He also did the composing for the Walking Dead TV show, which I stopped watching after a while. I think for a while the Walking Dead, it had its ups and downs, but I'd say it was overall good. But then,
yeah,
you know, it went longer than it needed to. I honestly feel like at a certain point, a show just has to stop, and The Walking Dead refused to do that.
No, yeah, I agree. I think the last two seasons were just a waste of time, low-key. Low-key, high-key.
But Bear McCreary also did the scoring for that show, and I really liked the music in that show. So, can't complain about him. But yeah, right. In this movie, I think it's a lot of string instruments, and they really bring, not only like in the quieter moments, there's like a very sort of ominous kind of feeling to the music, but then there's also like very like powerful emotional moments, and I think it all just comes together very beautifully.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How did you feel about the voiceover? There were a couple of moments, because obviously, like we had mentioned before, this is based off of a section of the novel, which is the like the captain's log. And so there are a couple moments throughout the movie where you hear the captain like speaking his captain's log.
So the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it was, I think, like two or three times in the beginning, and there was like once in the middle. And then there was a completely separate voiceover at the end, which we'll get to, but, right. How did you feel about that?
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. That was actually my second note on here. I like the fact when you're getting so much visual from like what's going on, and like, they're trying to give you kind of like the layout of, you know, whatever they're working on, like putting boxes on the ships or whatever. And then there's like that crisp, like sailor voicey voiceover that comes like on the screen. I liked it a lot. It brought like even more depth into the movie, and then you could also kind of tell that, I don't know, like something, I mean, I guess we found out that it was the captain's logs that were kind of like saved whenever they found the crashed ship.
Yeah, because in the opening scene, they like the ship crashes on some shore, and the people who are running the lighthouse like go down there, and the police come out, and then there's a person holding the captain's log, and they're like reading through it, and it like talks about like, Well, we tried to stop him, but if you're reading this, that means we failed. It's yeah. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I liked it a lot. I thought it would add another, like, kind of element, another layer to the movie. Yeah. What did you think about it?
I loved it. And I think especially Liam Cunningham, who plays the captain, he has such a, like, such a satisfying voice.
Yeah, like deep and gruff and like just full.
Yeah.
Very full.
I know he, for people that haven't seen the movie and are still listening, he also played Sir Davos in Game of Thrones, is what most people would probably recognize him from.
Mm.
But great, great actor, great voice. Loved hearing it.
Yeah.
And I think especially like his performance towards the end after losing his grandson was, I mean, just is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was touching. I don't know if we want to jump to that part just yet, but he was definitely like more on the like level-headed, mellow side for the front half of the movie, especially for being a captain. I feel like, I don't know, he was a very in touch captain with the crew. Like, he cared about them a lot.
Yeah.
And he was very fair.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of balance between, like, especially because there's that moment where he says, hey, when we get to England, I'm going to retire. And he says, Wojciech can take over as captain. And you see the sort of balance between them where, like, the older captain is a lot more calm and he's like, let's just get through this voyage. I don't want any trouble, like not trying to start anything. And then the younger guy is like, there's a stowaway, fucking throw overboard, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Wojciech is like, all right, get rid of this person, leave, kill him. Yeah, no, I agree. I think those two definitely balance each other out nicely. And then what did you think about like the introduction of something going wrong on the ship?
How do you mean?
Which was the livestock, I believe. I think that's like the first thing that we noticed of like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I see the,
or is that too on the nose for you? Like, no, like that, I'm trying to figure out.
So what I think it's just the, like, seeing all of the, like, the livestock torn apart was great. And, like, the dog especially was crazy. And I think there are moments in this movie where you get, like, shadows and silhouettes. And, like, the moment where Clemens is looking through the spyglass and he sees, like, on the other end of the ship, just, like, a figure standing there. And he's like, what the hell is that? And then when he puts the spyglass down and looks again, it's gone.
Yeah.
Moments like that, I think, were really, really strong.
Okay.
But then I feel like there were other moments where, like, especially early in the movie, where you see, like, you see Dracula, like, crawling around on the ground. And, like, I don't know. I feel like they showed too much of him too early on.
Huh. Okay.
I feel like I was thinking about this the second time I watched it. I think if we had only ever seen tiny glimpses of him and like the like silhouettes and shadows, like I was talking about, if we had seen that up until the moment where he attacks Toby, and then that moment is the first time that we like fully see his entire body, I think that would have been way more effective. But I think,
interesting,
I think there are just like moments of him like crawling around the ship and like hiding in a corner. And I don't know, it's especially just like, I'm not sure how I feel about the design of Dracula here. He doesn't particularly look
that was
menacing. Yeah. He just kind of looks like a weak old man. And I don't know,
right.
it wasn't scary to me. And there are like moments where, like, you see him and he's just like a shrivelly old man sitting in the corner. I'm like, that's not scary.
Yeah, but I think that kind of like, I think they wanted to portray him like that because he was, let's say, on the weaker side, because like the girl had said that basically there was no more food where he had come from.
I understand it. And I think even like I was reading, there was an interview where they were like talking about like treating him as if he was like a drug addict. Like he's just desperate to get blood, and
right.
like making him more fragile is supposed to communicate how dangerous he is because he's so desperate. But I don't know. It just didn't really work for me. I think it's not necessarily the weakness. It's just the portrayal of that weakness. I think something about the way he looked just was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. I did like the part to where he did look all frail and stuff, but then he could still move at like lightning speeds.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a cool little whatever. But yeah, I think I would agree with you on that. Another thing that also confused me was like his crate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there was dirt in there. Like, I don't understand.
That's part of vampire lore is that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. You have to have the soil of your homeland. It is like where Dracula sleeps in dirt from Transylvania. And if he doesn't do that, then he can't like stay healthy or something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. See, that was a key thing that I didn't realize. Cause like a lot of those boxes were, like they said, just filled with dirt. And yeah. I was like, well, I'm so confused.
It says in the like log that it's 50 loads of dirt, which is an insane amount to me because those are huge crates. I don't know why he needs right. that much dirt, but they even like
put them all around different houses. Yeah,
that could be so he can like move from place to place and not always have to go back. They touch on this a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen. There's a show called What We Do in the Shadows, based off of a movie by the same name. It's a comedy series.
Yeah.
And it's a household with vampires living in it. And in that show, they also each have like a little bit of dirt from their homeland that they have to keep in their coffin so that they can sleep.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I didn't know that was a thing at all.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense. But then the woman, was she also like part vampire? Cause she was also like covered in dirt.
Yeah. So I think that's what had happened at the, so I don't know exactly how they never explain the full thing because obviously this is from the perspective of people who don't know what the fuck Dracula is.
Right.
But you can see she has like bite marks all over her. Like Dracula has just been like using her as like a personal feeding vessel kind of a thing.
Right.
And obviously for everyone else in the movie that gets bitten, they have like, overnight they turn and they sort of become that like mindless zombie sort of a thing. And I think somehow she has been like, maybe she was one of those creatures. And then somehow the blood transfusions that Clemens was giving her, like sort of help turn her back into more of a normal person.
Yeah,
she mentions that at the end. Yeah, like you could just keep giving me blood transfusions, but like if you ever stopped, I'm just gonna turn again. And so,
yeah,
it's gonna happen one way or the other.
Now, talking about those type, like when they're bitten and are going to be turning into that mindless whatever. What did you think about them just bursting into flames when the sun came up?
Kind of fucking crazy. I thought it was cool. I recently, well, I don't know about recently. It was like last year. Watched a show on Netflix called Midnight Mass, which also has to do with vampires. And there's also also happens in What We Do in the Shadows, because that's also just a normal thing like about vampire lore is that they burst into flames when they touch sunlight. But I think they handled it really nicely here. It felt very like graphic and like painful. I feel like in a lot of other like shows and movies, it's very ashy, and it's like they set on fire and then it's like they sort of just like crumble into dust because they burn up so quickly. But in this one, you can like see their skin start to bubble and like there's blood and like it's just lots of it's very goopy burning. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Especially when the captain was holding Toby, his grandson, and like his grandson burst into flames, then the captain's skin was like also like partially melted off and definitely like badly burned.
I luckily have never had like that bad of a burn. I can't imagine, like, not only in the moment, but like the amount of pain you would have, like, well, I don't know, because I guess if it burns you hot enough, it like burns your nerves away and then you don't feel it anymore. But
true.
I don't know. It just is like seeing his hands the next day where there's just like black sections of skin and like other sections that have just fallen off. And I'm like, how bad do his hands hurt? Like, I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, probably an unbelievable amount. Holy smokes. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I think they definitely portrayed that piece well. I just think they left like a little bit of time for the skin to bubble and then automatically them bursting into flames.
Yeah.
And then like that one scene where Toby was thrown off overboard and you kind of like saw underwater his like burned body. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, they're really going for it. Like they're wanting to show us the gruesomeness of what's occurring, right?
Yeah.
But I guess it's interesting to me the fact that they did do that, because like, does that mean that they were vampires or like?
I don't think so. Because I think from what I know,
walkers.
From what I know about vampire lore is, in order to become a vampire, the vampire drinks your blood and then you have to drink the vampire's blood.
Ah, so it's a half transition.
So it's like they just become like slaves, pretty much. They're just like being controlled by the vampire.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I guess then it's interesting, like, does the transition speed have to do with how much blood the vampire's taking from them? Because like the girl, right, she had hella scars and bite marks over her body, right? Mm. So maybe the vampire was just like very small rations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think when she fell out of the box, I think she was already one of those creatures, but having her blood replaced sort of like slightly reversed the process a little bit.
You think so? I don't know, because like she was knocked out for so long even before they started putting blood in her.
Yeah,
she looked like, normal. I think the other guys like turned white and shit.
I mean, she was pretty pale when they first pulled her out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know either. Maybe it also is like there's a difference between like being, because like Toby especially was really pale, but he was like full on dead. But I think there's a difference between like, I think with Anna, he was probably drinking less because in order to keep reusing her, he had to keep her alive. If he drank all of her blood and she just died, then there's no more blood to drink.
Right. I also thought like Dracula's teeth were really interesting. I think like usually when I think of a vampire, I just think of like, you know, two really sharp kind of front teeth and like the rest like regular teeth. But this guy, he had like hella jagged, sharp ass teeth that are like long and like not, you know, obviously he didn't have braces for him.
I think they were really trying to like
portray
a more animalistic side of him. And like, especially towards the end when like, normally when people think about like, oh, Dracula can turn into a bat, they're like, he just like turns into an actual bat, or like in some stories he can turn into a swarm of bats, but in this one it's like it's not like a normal bat, it's like he becomes like a human sized bat.
Yeah, like a massive winged creature, almost dragon like.
Yeah
and that also kind of came as a surprise to me, because what we'd seen like his frail self, mm-hmm. with just like arms and legs, and then all of a sudden like he's like this massive winged creature with, like, you know, the skin of bats under his arms. I thought that was like an interesting switch, and I don't know exactly when that happens and how that works, but again, like, he's a Dracula, so
yeah. I also, just side note, I thought it was, because I was confused. There are two blood transfusions in this movie. Clemens transfuses Anna, and then the captain transfuses Toby. And I feel like it makes sense that Toby and his grandfather would. I mean, obviously, it's not a guarantee, because even like siblings and have parents don't always have the same blood type. But like, I looked it up because I was curious about when blood types were discovered. It was in 1901, which means at the time that this would have occurred, they just didn't know about blood types. And
yeah,
I was like, that's just incredibly lucky that both of these transfusions worked, because I guess back in the day, it was just like a random thing. Like, I was like, wait, like, how did people do transfusions before they knew that blood types existed? And all the information I found, people were like, I mean, it just either worked really well or people died. Like, you just, like,
yeah,
you do a blood transfusion and you hope it works.
I thought about that during the movie too. I was like, geez, like, all right, they're just going for it.
Yeah.
And even with the blood transfusions, it was pretty graphic, because he put the needle in his arm, Clemens did, the doctor. And then, like, you saw, like, the other end of the needle, like, squirting a little bit of blood and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I don't think they knew about cleanliness that well either, like, disinfecting and stuff like that.
It's also, like, such a basic pump. It's, like, literally just, like, a little, like, squeezy ball that you, like, a tube running from your arm to the other person's arm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. Definitely wild. So speaking of, I guess we had already kind of talked about them, the people that were being turned.
Yeah.
I thought it was that one scene where it was Mr. Olgarian or something like that.
Olgarin? That sounds right.
Yeah, where he was banging his head against the door.
Oh my God, yeah.
I was like, dude, this is like that. I mean, it is scary, right? Like,
yeah.
Think about it. It kind of reminded me of like The Shining, where he was like, where's Johnny?
Yeah, well, and that's like what I'm saying is, I feel like there were so many moments that like were genuinely like terrifying. I think there were enough of those that we didn't need as much of the actual vampire. Yeah.
Yeah. Dracula.
And like the dialogue moments where like even like the thing in the beginning where the guy like accidentally drops the crate and he like runs off the ship yelling, and he's like, I recognize that symbol and I'm not gonna be a part of it. You can keep your money, blah blah blah. Or like
I feel like from that context clues, they should have realized to check the cargo boxes when something was going wrong already.
I don't know, man.
Like, they were just so clueless for so long, it was kind of annoying.
Yeah, I guess it took them a bit longer to catch on. But also, like, I don't know, I feel like you wouldn't think of that at first. And especially with, like, the superstition of, like, old sailors and the person talking about, like, oh, it's bad luck to have a woman on board and all of that stuff. So they might, and like even the ship's cook, it like thinks that it's like punishment from God. And so there's just like all of these different beliefs. And I think it just like, it wouldn't have occurred that it has anything to do with the cargo.
Right. And I also thought it was funny that like they used like the Bible and like the cross to try to repel this guy. But yeah. And he was like low key mimicking them. You know, like on the ship,
yeah, when it was, they would like say something and then he would like repeat back to them.
Yeah. He was like, help me God. He was like, oh, help me God. Like, he was like, I'm not God. Like, nothing's going to help you here.
Yeah. Or like when at the end, when Clemens says, I don't fear you. And he says, you will.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah, you want to bet? And then it kind of adds into it, because at the very end.
Yeah.
He was kind of toying with him. He was doing like the double knock or whatever the hell
that's
in the bar.
That's another thing. I don't know. First of all, insane that he heard that knocking in a busy bar. That bar looked like it was packed full of people.
But I agree, but also, he must have been knocking really fucking loud.
But like, then everyone else would have also turned and been like, bro, why are you knocking on the floor so loud?
So true, so true.
But also the whole knocking thing on the ship, it was a little confusing to me. I feel like they set it up when Toby's giving him the tour and they're like, oh yeah, if you knock on the wood, you can hear it throughout the whole ship. So just like do that whenever you want to like signal that there's danger or something. But I don't know. I feel like if it's audible throughout the whole ship, I feel like every other time that it's used is just like communicating between two people and no one else hears it. It'll be like the two people are like someone knocks on the side of the ship trying to get the attention of someone on the other side of the ship. But at some point, I'd expect someone to like, I don't know. I guess most of them are sleeping during those moments. But like if someone woke up and they're like, oh, shit, someone's knocking on the ship. Let me go upstairs and see what's happening.
Yeah. But what's wrong with that?
Because that just never happens.
It makes sense to me.
And also, I feel like there's a difference between you can hear the knock throughout the whole ship, and I feel like the rest of the movie, it like echoed, and that especially doesn't make sense. I'm like, wood doesn't echo. That's not how wood works.
Yeah, I think maybe with the echoing part, because they were hitting it so hard in the side of the hole that it like reverberated in like the spaces below, and there were like different spaces. But yeah, I don't know. That was a little interesting.
It was a neat mechanic. I think the execution, I think, was a little questionable, but it helps to have that like a way of communicating with other people on the ship without just yelling their name. I think that was neat.
Right. Yeah, and like that one point where the two guys were on top and they're like, did you knock on the side of the ship? The guy's like, no, did you?
Yeah.
So I guess the Dracula knew too. So he was fucking with them the whole time.
Yeah.
Using that tactic to kind of like lure them where he wants them to be or something like that.
Also, an incredibly, another stroke of luck is that Anna just happened to speak English, even though she's from like a small town in Romania.
True. Yeah, she spoke great English, dude.
I feel like the plan that they come up with at the end, kind of terrible. I understand they didn't realize at the time that he could fly, but even if he couldn't, I feel like we're gonna put the girl here so that he can attack her, and then when he attacks, we're gonna shoot him, and then after we shoot him, then we're gonna sink the ship. And I'm like, wait, what?
I think they wanted to at least harm him enough to where that he couldn't fly.
Well, but they didn't know that he could fly when they made that plan.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm like, they said, oh, we're going to block off all of this stuff so he only has one exit. And I'm like, no, just block off all the exits and then sink the ship while he's still inside ship.
that would have been smart. But granted, he did break through like wood at one point. He just jumped through it. So I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have worked either way. But I feel like they're plan didn't really make a whole lot. And even like the captain's plan where he's like, okay, well obviously this thing wants to make it to England, so how about you guys leave in the lifeboat and then I'll just turn the ship out to sea and sink it out there, and then he can't do anything. I was like, that feels way smarter.
Right. And I don't think they even did that. They just kept going toward land.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I also thought was weird? When Toby passed away and they were like, you know, speaking on his behalf.
Yeah.
It was the woman that was talking to him or like saying stuff about the boy during the funeral, not the captain. And I thought that was so weird to me. Like right when that came, I was like, what does this woman know anything about like the boy? Like it's the captain's grandson. Like he should be the one talking.
I think the dynamic that I was getting was that the captain was just so
stricken by grief,
just traumatized that he wasn't able to say anything. And that's why he was like, he was like kind of in denial. And that's why he made such a big deal about like, oh, I saw a movie, still alive. Like he hadn't fully processed that his grandson was dead. And so that's why he wasn't even standing near the body. He was like off on the side, just dealing with his emotions.
That's fair.
And then I think
that's fair, but the woman was like such a weird person to use for that, because she just met him like a day ago. Maybe,
I mean, she just met all of them, but I feel like out of the rest of the crew members, she had the closest connection, because there was even that the several scenes where like, because obviously all of the animals were dead, so Toby didn't have to take care of them, and so Clemens had assigned him watching Anna, and so when she was in her coma, Toby spent a lot of time with her. And there was even a moment where he was like, oh yeah, she said her name's Anna. And Clemens was like, wait, she woke up and was like talking. And so obviously we don't see any of it, and they could have shown more of that. But I think there was like, there was some sort of connection between the two of them because they had spent more time together.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. But I think the captain should have gotten his shit straight. Especially like, he's an old guy. He's probably seen a hell of death.
I mean, it's different when it's like a child and a family member, though.
Fuck them. They dead. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Yeah, I guess. Just at the time, it was like a weird thing. I was like, this lady that like they were all against.
No, I get
not
that.
Not too long ago is all of a sudden like talking at like this kid's funeral. Well, I'm like, all right.
I mean, and also there is like at a certain point, you just like you see people start to slowly turn, like the the guy who turned and bashed his face against the door.
Olgarin.
Yeah.
Olgarin.
But there's a scene where he's talking to one of the other guys and he's like, yeah, at first I thought we'd probably be better off if we just threw her off the ship. But then I started thinking about my own daughter and she's around the same age. And like, I feel like there are moments like that where you see people sort of start to come to terms with her being on board.
Show a little bit of humanity.
Or like when she wakes up from her coma and she's like, we have to get off the ship, otherwise we're all going to die. And then Wojciech, who is like trying to be the serious captain, is like, enough of this chat. We just need to do our work, get to England and get paid. And then that other, I don't remember his name, but the like scruffy haired one that I think he was like the third,
scruffy fourth.
He had like, he was a redhead and he like had a very scraggly beard.
Yeah.
And like some tattoos. And like, obviously he was also in favor of throwing her overboard, but then she wakes up from the coma and says, hey, we're all going to die if we don't leave. And he is immediately like, hold on, maybe we should listen to her.
Oh, right. Yeah. That guy. Yeah. No, you're right. What I also thought was kind of funny is the fact that like at one point Anna says that she has a connection with Dracula, but she never told him that this guy can fucking fly. Like, I'm sure she knew.
I mean, maybe. No. Unless he never had to fly before. I don't know.
I mean, he's apparently been, you know, terrorizing her village for years, centuries.
Well, but we don't know how long she's been like a feeding person. Like, it could
long enough. Did you see the scars on her? Like, they were fully healed scars.
No, but that's what I'm saying is like, if she, like, yes, has been terrorizing her village, but maybe like when she was young, her village gave her to Dracula and she's just been like in the castle being fed on every day. And so she doesn't know all of that other stuff.
maybe. But I think that like the chance of her not knowing that he can fly is just so small. I don't know.
Good point, though.
That was one of my notes I had written. I was like, she knows.
That makes
sense.
She
has a connection with him.
Yeah.
Like,
and even anyway. The other guy, when he's tied to the mast, he's like, he says like he can feel the monster and the monster can feel him and all of that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What did you think about the very ending? Because that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, you know, they tried
like post-crash.
Yeah, they tried to trap Dracula. Dracula didn't give a fuck about the mast hitting him. And then I guess he got off the ship when it crashed, but then they're in the bar. And then like you kind of see Dracula, you know, leaving.
I think
and
everything at that point was absolute dog shit. I hated the ending. Yeah. I think I can ignore it enough to still say that the rest of the movie is really good. But man, that ending sucked. I think, first of all, I don't think Clemens should have survived. I don't know. Obviously, I don't want every movie to end like this, but sometimes I like a movie where everyone dies at the end. And especially like, I mean, in the beginning, like, that's what we're led to believe, because there's the whole opening scene with the British people discovering the boat, and they're like, everyone's dead. Like, there's no one on the boat. And and so I'm like, going into this movie, I'm like, oh shit, we're like, we're gonna watch all these people die. And then at the end, one of them survives, and I'm like, okay,
yeah, that was a switch. That was kind of, I don't know, I feel like that was like a cool part. I thought that was like the transition of, like, you know, the boy at the very end, the boy running with like the newspaper of like, oh, like, ghost ship, all the crew died, whatever. And then you see Clemens, and it's like, oh shit, like, Clemens made it. And then the ending is like, he was like, oh, he will pursue the beast to kill it.
Well, that's, you know, the other thing is like, it seems like they're trying to like do a weird setup for a sequel, but like, we don't need a sequel to this movie. That feels stupid.
I don't know. I'd like a sequel in the city. That'd be kind of cool.
Also, it completely ruins the premise, because the whole thing is that this is based off of part of the Dracula novel. Clemens isn't a character in that novel, and the events that happen after Dracula reaches England, they're like, that's an existing story. Like, there are other people who beat Dracula, and Clemens is not one of them.
I mean, maybe Clemens like meets them and then Clemens dies and then they take over. I don't know, I feel like I kind of, the way that they filmed it, the way, you know, I don't know, the just like the aura of the movie itself, I feel like it'd be a very interesting to see one in the city.
You know what it reminded me of a little bit? There's another vampire movie that came out a while ago called Dracula Untold that was meant to be part of the what do they even call it? The Dark Universe, which was, they were trying to set up a cinematic universe with all of the like classic monsters like Dracula and the Wolfman and like
Frankenstein.
I mean, yes, and Jekyll and Hyde, but like all of those monsters, they were trying to get into a unified universe. And the first one that I think they ended up later saying it wasn't part of the universe, even though that definitely was their intention, was a movie called Dracula Untold. And at the end of that movie, it like cuts to like most of the movie is like historical. And then at the end, it cuts to modern day, and there's a scene where one of the characters, like, literally right before it cuts to credits, he says, like, the game is on or something like that, or, like, the game has just begun. And it's like, it gave me that same sort of vibe where, like, you don't, like, I don't know. I think people are trying to copy Marvel too much, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do, like, a cool scene where we set up the next one. These movies, you don't, I don't know, it doesn't even always work when Marvel does it. It definitely doesn't work when other people do it.
I don't know, I mean, definitely because they lost quite a few millions on this movie, I don't think they will make a sequel. But I do think, like, I just liked Clemens a lot. I liked his attitude during the whole movie.
Yeah, he was a good character. That's why I enjoyed it. I think it would have been more fun for me if you had a good character like that. And he's like smart and resourceful, and then still every single plan fails, because
but
that just shows how powerful Dracula is, that no matter how smart you are, sometimes the bad guy is just too strong and sucks to suck. I
mean, yeah, You're not wrong. But at the same time, you know how American movies are. They always have to end kind of on a happy note.
Not a fan.
At least.
I wanted this one to end on a depressing note. I wanted to be like,
not get that.
Everyone on the ship is dead. Dracula made it to England. Now he's going to go kill a bunch of other people. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. Instead, it was Dracula landed in England and Clemens is going to kill him.
It also, feel like... they obviously don't show that much of him, but there's like that little side eye he gives where he's got the top hat and the cane. I'm like, there ain't no way that he is blending in right now. Like, he still looks like a fucking crazy monster. Like,
I agree with you on that one. Anna, but earlier, I think every time he walked around, he had his head down. Yeah,
sometimes he disguises himself as a man so he can blend in. I'm like, that's not blending in, man. That is not blending in.
I don't know. Pop the collar and look down with your long hat brim, and you're good. No, I agree with you. Yeah, I think if Clemens would have died, and like you saw like a little flash of like Dracula causing havoc in England, would have been cool. But it just did not end up that way.
Yeah, and I mean, like yeah. I said, it didn't ruin the movie for me. But I could have done without that scene.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm indifferent. I kind of enjoyed it. I wish there was a second movie coming out, but we can agree to disagree on that one. Yeah. Just yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any more notes. I think we went through all of it for me.
Yeah, that's it for me too.
Sick. Yeah, I mean, overall, really fun movie. I would I watch it again with people that haven't seen it? Yes, probably. Most likely.
Cool. I only have one piece of trivia here. There's actually not a whole lot of trivia on this, and most of it was kind of lame, but
let's hear it.
I mean, honestly, this one's not that great either, if I'm being honest. the film was released on August 11th, which is 3 days after the date given for the crash of the Demeter in the original Dracula novel. And when I was reading that, I was like, well, damn, they should have released it on the 9th on the then. Day. Or,
facts.
Like, it would have been so cool.
3 days?
Like, well, yeah, why 3 days after? It would have been so cool if you were like, this movie's coming out on the day that the Demeter crashed.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Maybe they tried to hit that, but they just
maybe there were some technical complications. Who knows? Like I mentioned earlier, I haven't read Dracula, but I actually am planning to. So there's a website you can sign up for called Dracula Daily.
For all you vampire fans.
I'm going to sign up for it next year, because what they do is the novel Dracula is written in the format of like a compilation. And so there are like the captain's log from the ship, or there are like newspaper cutouts, or like journal entries from some of the characters. Like, the whole book is just like things that people in the story have written, rather than being like some omniscient author writing about everything.
Interesting. Okay.
And so what happens when you sign up for the Dracula Daily thing is they will email you the part of the story that happens on the day that it happens.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so cool. If there's like a newspaper headline, like the one where at the end of this movie, where it's like a ghost ship crashes on the shore, they would like send that newspaper article to you on the day that it was released in the story.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
So I think I'm going to do that next year. I think it runs from May to late August. Because that's the timeline of when the story of Dracula happens.
Yeah. That's dope. That's really cool.
By the end of next year, idea. I will have read Dracula.
It'll take a year. However, that's good. That's dope. You get to feel Dracula every day then.
Yeah. I don't know if it's roughly. Like, it's called Dracula Daily. I don't know if they actually send you something every day, because who knows? Yeah, I don't know how many pieces of the story there are. I don't think there's an entry on every single day.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But yeah, so if anyone else is interested in reading the original novel, I feel like that's a fun way to do it.
That's a good get wreck too.
Yeah, it's not my rec for today, but I guess a bonus rec.
It's a good one. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, since I had already given my rec, I think it's your turn.
So we'll jump right into get wrecked. And I actually have got two recs today. I thought about saving one of them for the next episode, but I'm not gonna.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. So the first one is I just recently went and saw The Marvels, which is so baffling to me. Like, I've seen so many reviews, even from like critics that I generally agree with and like most of the time feel are, I don't know, I feel like there are people that I'm mostly aligned with when it comes to movies. And then I saw their reviews for the Marvels and they just like hated it. And there are so many people that really didn't like it. I went and saw it and I think it was such a breath of fresh air in the,
really?
Like, and maybe that's just because, I mean, I know this year's been kind of up and down with Marvel stuff, like Quantumania kind of sucked, and then we got Guardians of the Galaxy, which was good, and then like Secret Invasion was really, really bad, and then Loki season 2 just wrapped up and everyone loved that. And I feel like it's been a very confusing year for Marvel, but I think I'll say it like this, and I think for my personal opinion, and that's why I'm including it here, I definitely would recommend it. I think it is a fun movie. It's not incredibly deep, but like the characters are fun. I think it achieves what a lot of other moments in the Marvel Universe have failed to, which is the whole like strong female character thing. I know we talked about that. There was like that weird moment in Endgame where they had like, on some coincidence, every single girl character was in the same shot and it felt very forced and lame.
And yeah, then at the very end.
It was also like, that was part of the reason I didn't like the first Captain Marvel movie, is because it was very like heavy handed on the girl power thing. And I feel like it, I don't know. Maybe that works for some people. I'm not a girl, I don't know, but I feel like it's a stronger girl power message when you just let the girls be powerful instead of trying to talk about how powerful they are.
Okay, that's fair. That's absolutely fair, yeah.
And so I feel like this movie did that, where you have three female lead characters and they're all like competent and strong and intelligent. But it's never like they never have to point to that and be like, look how strong and intelligent they are. Like, they just let the characters be strong and intelligent.
Well, that's kind of dope. Yeah, I like that.
And
this one was called what?
The Marvels.
The Marvels. Okay.
And I think because I even talked about, I tried to invite one of Elena's friends and I was like, hey, do you want to go see the Marvels? And he said he doesn't want to go because he doesn't like Brie Larson. I gotta say, I didn't particularly like the way that she acted in the first Captain Marvel movie, but I think she did a lot better in this one. I think there was a balance of being, it's not a perfect movie. It had its flaws, but I don't know. I think it was nice to see those characters come together, and especially Miss Marvel, who's played by Iman Vellani. I don't know if have you seen any of the Marvel TV shows?
No, probably not.
Right
now I'm watching The Mandalorian, which is interesting for me to watch. Yeah.
But
I went through all the Star Wars movies. That's a side note.
All right, cool. But yeah, she was great in her own show, and I'm glad that she is now on the big screen. There's a hilarious scene at the end of the movie. I don't want to spoil too much, but I definitely would recommend going to see the Marvels if you haven't already, because I think for me personally, it was a really good movie. I saw another review that said the Marvels is exactly what you expect it to be. So if you go into the movie expecting it to be bad, it's gonna be bad for you. And if you go into it expecting it to be good, it's gonna be good, because it has enough good and bad in it to sway you either way. Personally, okay. I feel okay. Like I didn't expect it to be good when I went in. I was kind of just like,
like neutral?
Yeah, I was pretty neutral about it. I was just going to see it because I have seen every Marvel thing ever. And so I feel like, feel like kind of locked in at this point where I'm like, oh, a new Marvel thing came out. I guess I'll watch that. But like, I mean, I don't know. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I feel like I was very pleasantly surprised.
Although everyone else hated it, apparently, which is weird.
It's insane to me how many people dislike this movie.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I'll figure that out to watch.
But my second rec is last week I downloaded Marvel Snap, and I've been absolutely addicted to it.
Marvel Snap?
It's a card game. And it's like a very fast-paced card game. Like your deck only has like 10 cards in it, and there's only 6 turns, and then the game is over. And
oh wow!
Yeah, so it's very fast-paced. All of the cards have different abilities, and they're all based off of different Marvel characters. But it's very addicting. I don't know if. I want to say it's fun, but like sometimes it's really frustrating. But like even when it's frustrating, it just makes me want to play more.
Huh, interesting. I'll have to give it a look. That's on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give that a whirl. We'll see. I probably don't know all the characters, but.
I mean, no, because especially like it's not even just. First of all, you don't have to know the characters because they. It's just like tell art. You. Yeah.
Number game, yeah.
It's like each card has like a strength score, and then they'll have like a special ability that they can do, but you don't have to know any of that beforehand.
That's typical, yeah. Kind of sounds like one of the PC games that my friends are all playing. I forget what it's called though. Anyway, doesn't matter.
But yeah, those are my recs for today. And
those are good.
Yeah. I'll do this in a minute. So first, I will say if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and tell your friends and family about us. If you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and hit the bell icon. You can also follow us on X and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can DM us, leave a YouTube comment, or send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those will be in the description. Luca, why don't you tell them what kind of messages they can send us?
Y'all can send us messages from items that you liked in our, you know, shows, or I guess show/episode. You can let us know if there are any, you know, things that you think would be nice for us to add, different movies that we should review that you want us to do. You guys can add, you know, your own opinions of movies that we've, you know, gone over so that we can kind of, you know, talk about that on the podcast with each other and kind of give a broader aspect. And you can also, you know, give us items that you think would be cool for, you know, the section where we let you guys know if things that we think are cool. Literally anything like that.
Yeah. And for those who pay attention to upcoming movies, I'm sure you guys noticed the most recent episode that we released was supposed to be Barbie. It was not Barbie. We had a little bit of technical difficulty. But next week, I believe Oppenheimer is finally out on digital release. So we're gonna just do a Barbenheimer episode, and we can talk about both movies. We'll talk about Oppenheimer now that we can see that, and then we'll also talk about Barbie since you guys weren't able to see that episode. So get a nice double feature next week.
All right. Sounds good. Watch both of those movies if you haven't already.
Yes. And on that note, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Till next time, and watching. Bye.